So it's Tim and Teresa for batch number 2 of local news and features. We have 4 more stories for you, and Teresa's headlines are:
dishonest North Staffordshire businessman jailed, and Longton Market traders encourage shoppers back into a once booming market stalls.
And my headlines are: motorist Matt demands £1,700 council pothole payout, and the Royal Stoke critical incident has been declared for the second time in 20 days. So over to Teresa. Over to Teresa now, who's going to do the first story for us in batch number 2.
Right, this is a dishonest businessman one. Fraudulent businessman Richard Stubbs has been jailed for 5.5 years. The 55-year-old of Highview Road, Endon, was earlier this year convicted of 3 charges of fraudulent trading, 7 charges of fraud, and 2 charges of intending to pervert the course of public justice. His business, leak-based iDesign Kitchens and Bathrooms and Peak Kitchens and Bathrooms, were convicted of a total of 7 counts of fraud. Now, Stubbs, who once served with Staffordshire Police, has been banned from being a company director for 10 years. He was yesterday described as a broken man. For the overall loss to consumers and credit card companies was £134,439. Stoke-on-Trent Crown Court heard testimonies from his victims. One victim has tried to take her own life, and the issue contributed to the breakdown of another couple's marriage. Doreen and Davis and her cancer-hit husband paid iDesign £6,816.36 for an ensuite bathroom, but they did not know iDesign had closed, and Mrs. Davis eventually managed to get a refund from their credit card company. Mrs. Davis said, "It was the most traumatic experience we've been subjected to have our money stolen. Richard Stubbs took advantage of our vulnerability. He should be ashamed of himself." A doctor believes Stubbs preyed upon her vulnerability during her husband's illness and subsequent death. She said, "I live in an unfurnished house. Work is either not completed or of a poor standard. I feel extremely foolish. It has caused a great deal of stress and anxiety and led to bouts of depression. I've been impacted financially, mentally and socially. I've been changed by what has happened. I've become a more anxious and less resilient person." The court heard Stubbs had received commendations from Staffordshire Police. He was forced to retire after a serious crash. Hugh Barton, mitigating for Stubbs, said, "His convictions in this trial represent a significant fall from grace for him. Since the early 2000s, he has been running businesses designing and supplying kitchens and bathrooms. There is no suggestion this was anything other than a legitimate, successful business. He did not set up his business with the intention to commit fraud and traded lawfully over many years. The offences were committed in an increasingly desperate attempt to keep his business afloat. There was a genuine cash flow crisis in 2019. In June and July 2019, he was still spending large sums of money obtaining goods for kitchens and bathrooms as he attempted to honour contracts. His dishonest, fraudulent behaviour occurred alongside continuing honest endeavours to satisfy contractual obligations. He acknowledges his actions were wrong, and he is very, very sorry for the people who lost money as a result of his actions. He suffers from a variety of physical and mental issues. Spinal injuries sustained in the road traffic accident have left him with chronic back pain. He's suffered from depression and anxiety since 2019. His mental health has deteriorated since his remand in custody. He is a broken man and a pale shadow of his former self. He has experienced significant difficulties in custody linked to his former status as a police officer, with some bullying, some abuse and some threats. He has found the whole experience traumatising. It's not accepted that he deliberately targeted any victims. He was not seeking people out. He had business premises. People came to that. Stubbs co-accused Carl Edgerton, age 54, of Basford Green, Cheddleton, was convicted of one charge of fraud. He was sentenced to 16 months in prison, suspended for 12 months, with 100 hours unpaid work and told to pay $2,500 in costs. Barry White, we'll just pause there, Barry White, representing Edgerton, said his client has worked in the industry for more than 30 years without any complaints. He has lost a contract as a result of his conviction. Mr. White added, he wishes to put this case behind him and move on. It has had a serious effect on him and his future. Judge Graham Smith said that there was an inherent difficulty in the Stubbs business model. He said, iDesign ran into financial difficulties in 2018 and 2019, and I accept that that was for various reasons, including a social media campaign, although part of that was the result of the failure to complete contracts. I'm satisfied that the main reason for the failure of the company was the extraction of funds by Stubbs to maintain his lifestyle. It was clear from your evidence, Richard Stubbs, that you felt you were working hard so you were entitled to a certain lifestyle. That included regular trips to a property in Spain, other trips and watching your football club. The profits of your company were insufficient to maintain this lifestyle. You chose to prioritise yourself. You must have been aware of the money coming in and going out of the company, and that was a shortfall. I accept you did not target victims on the basis of vulnerability, but you were indiscriminating. However, I do find that you targeted the doctor to make significant sums from her. She is an intelligent and articulate woman. She was at the time extremely vulnerable. You have a tendency to blame everybody but yourself for what was happening. Stubbs has also been handed a criminal behaviour order. A proceeds of crime hearing will be held later in the year. I'll just go back and remind myself and you the fact that it says she is an intelligent and articulate woman, not an articulated woman, which is something totally different.
So moving on now to my first story of batch number two, and motorist Matt demands £1.7 council pothole payout. Motorist Matt Shortell is demanding £1,719 council compensation after a pothole left his car undrivable. Matt hit the pothole, measuring 6 centimetres deep and 1 metre wide, on Cheadle Road in Draycott last December, and immediately reported the defect to Staffordshire County Council. The council says the pothole was repaired the following day. Now Matt is still waiting for his compensation more than 6 months after the incident. Matt from Oakamore said, I've still not had any response, and it's particularly annoying having it been hit at Christmas when you don't have that much money in the bank. Ultimately, I don't feel the bill is justified for me having to pay it, considering how bad the roads are. Almost the whole length of that road, there are potholes and bad surfaces. What I'd really like is, first of all, for the bill to be paid, and second, to put the money to highways to actually fix the roads, because they're getting worse and worse. Staffordshire County Council says pothole compensation claims are administered by its insurers. Daryl Ayres, County Council Director for Economy and Infrastructure and Skills, said our highways inspection team received a report of the mentioned defect on the Cheadle Road on the 12th of December. The pothole was inspected the next day and an emergency repair was made there and then. If a pothole causes damage to a resident's vehicle, they have a right to make a claim for compensation on our website. Claims for compensation are then handled externally by the insurers, so we are unable to comment on a claim status. We do, however, urge residents to continue to report potholes. We have recently seen a huge rise in pothole reports after experiencing one of the wettest and stormiest winters on record in Staffordshire. This is why the County Council has invested an additional £8 million to double down on fixing more roads over the next 12 months. So over to Teresa, who's going to do her next story in batch number two.
Right, this is about a dental blunder, so if you're a bit squeamish about teeth, skip to the next story. A cleaner has been awarded compensation after a botched dental extraction left part of his tooth wedged in his sinuses for 2 years. Mark Shire, 58, suffered chronic sinusitis, which left him struggling to sleep and work due to constant pain, and a blocked nose made it hard to breathe. He needed surgery to finally have the painful gnasher removed and was given an $8,400 payout after taking legal action. Mark said, "I knew things weren't going right as my dentist had a really hard job getting the teeth out. The whole experience was very scary. I'm so lucky it was eventually caught, and I just never thought it would all be because of a dental extraction." Mark visited his dentist in January 2020 as he had pain in his mouth and had two teeth removed on the upper left side to alleviate the tooth pain. However, he was instantly left in pain after the extractions and was advised that his gum wasn't healing well. A year later, he returned to the same dental practice in pain and was prescribed antibiotics, and his dentist cleaned out the tooth socket. He added, "In January 2022, I visited a medical practice for the sinus pain and congestion, as I didn't ever think it'd be related to my teeth. They gave me antibiotics and sprays, but the problem continued, and I was then seen by a specialist in the ENT, ear, nose and throat department. Despite multiple courses of antibiotics, I was experiencing, wait for it, foul-smelling thick green mucus coming out of the left side of my nose and in my throat, facial pain on the left side and left-sided headaches." In June 2022, Mark was referred to the hospital where a CT scan revealed he had left-sided sinusitis caused by a piece of tooth pushed into his sinus. Mark added, "The sinusitis made me feel like I had a permanent cold. The blocked nose made it hard to breathe, and I always had a horrible taste in my mouth from the pus that was draining. I often struggled to sleep and couldn't go to work sometimes because the headaches were so bad. The whole experience was very scary, and I'm so lucky it was eventually caught, and I just never thought it would all be because of the dental extraction." He says he went back to his dentist in November to tell her what had happened as a result of the treatment, but he says he had an X-ray taken but received no apology. In May last year, he was operated on under general anaesthetic, where surgeons removed the tooth fragments left in his sinuses. Mark added, "I had to take 2 weeks off work to recover, and after that my sinus issues cleared and healed. Further analysis from the Dental Law Partnership found the tooth extractions led to a tooth fragment fracturing away and being pushed into the sinus. It also found no attempt was made to locate or remove it or to refer Mark to get it remedied. Mark's case was successfully settled in April when he was paid $8,400 in an out-of-court settlement. The dentist involved did not admit liability." Heather Owen of the Dental Law Partnership said, "The distress and pain our client has experienced was completely unnecessary. If the dentist involved had provided more satisfactory treatment, his problems could have been avoided." Ooh. I've got a dental appointment coming up. That's just left me feeling sick as a dog.
Well, it doesn't sound very nice, but you just have to try to be positive and think, well, it won't happen to me. Okay, so the next story now from me, and the final one now in batch number two, is Royal Stoke critical incident was declared for the second time in 20 days for a story around the 7th of July. A critical incident has been declared at Stoke-on-Trent's main hospital due to high demand at A&E. The Royal Stoke University Hospital and County Hospital in Stafford have been under increasing pressure since that week. In July, University Hospitals of the North Midlands NHS Trust, UHNM, which runs both hospitals, says that patients should expect much longer delays than usual, whilst emergency departments tend to the sickest patients first. It took the decision to declare a critical incident after experiencing an increase in attendances at the emergency department, which required an admission. The news came 20 days after the last critical incident was declared. The public was asked to help by only using A&E in a serious or life-threatening emergency, and that when patients were being discharged, friends or loved ones picked them up from hospital as soon as possible. In the statement from July the 9th, the UHNM said that the UHNM has been under increasing pressure since that weekend, with both Royal Stoke University Hospital and County Hospital experiencing an increase in attendances. We therefore took the decision to declare a critical incident. This helps us to take additional measures to maintain safe services for our patients and those in the community waiting for ambulances. We continue to work with NHS and local authority partners to ensure that people who need hospital and emergency care can get treatment quickly, and to identify any additional support that allows us to discharge patients who did not require acute hospital care. During this time, the emergency departments continue to see the sickest patients first, which means for some patients there may be longer delays than usual. We do ask the public to help by using the A&E in a serious or life-threatening emergency only. When we're discharging patients, we ask that their friends or loved ones pick them up from hospital as soon as possible and have everything they need at home. And thank you for your understanding and cooperation. And you can always find updates of what the situation is by going on to the Royal Stoke University Hospital website. So keep listening, got some more stories for you coming up in batch number 3.